Do you have an idea, brand, concept, or business? Well, we have what you need to grow your brick-and-mortar presence. Brookfield Properties. You mean business. We mean retail. Discover new business opportunities at wemeanretail.com.
What's up, internets? Welcome to the ROI of Why, your number one podcast about all things business as it relates to impact and purpose. This is Andrew Tuzon. I am the Vice President of Creative at Firespring. And as always, I am joined by the very lovely Angie Kupacek. How are you, homie?
Doing awesome.
Yeah, how's the day treating you?
Day's great. It's gorgeous.
I know.
Enjoying it.
We're finally out of the Seattle phase of Nebraska.
I mean, but are we? It's always a chance.
That's true.
With Nebraska, we could get snow today. We just never quite know
right
what's going to happen.
I got to tell you a really cute story. So, you know, I have all the humans, right? Like, yes. Girlfriend, son is 13. My daughter's 11. Then I have two boys, 5 and 3. My 5-year-old graduated preschool last night. And I thought I was ready, and I wasn't. I was a hot mess.
Did you lose it a little bit?
Yeah, I was a puddle. Yeah. But, like, so he's getting up. Every single one of them got up in front of the entire auditorium and said, you know, this is my name. This is my birthday. And then this is what I want to be when I grow up. And the teacher said, like, she led with, they put so much work into this, and they practiced it for weeks. And so, like, a lot of thought went into this, mm-hmm. right? So my son gets up, and he goes, "My name is Roman Vanguard Tuzon, R-O-M-A-N-T-U-Z-S-O-N. My birthday is January 28th. I'm 5 years old. And when I grow up, I want to be a cherry factory guy."
Yeah, he does.
And he's like so proud. And he sits down and he throws me that like thumbs up of approval. Right? Yeah. And so afterwards, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, Roman, I'm so proud of you. You crushed it. What is a cherry factory guy?
Yeah, what is that?
And so he goes, "Dad, you know, like the cherry factories, right? Like the cherry trees?" I'm like, "Yeah. You know how people like pick those cherries so they can go to the grocery store?" I'm like, "Yeah. Cherry factory guy."
Right? There you
just
go.
Like a, just straight
the dreams.
Up. Yeah.
You need to document that. So
oh,
that
I did.
Way when he is then graduating
right.
from high school, you have the moment.
Did you follow the trajectory that yeah. you set out?
This was your right. BHAG, as we say in business.
the BHAG. Straight up.
Oh my gosh, I love
oh,
it. I love
so
kids.
Good.
They're so
good. So
hilarious.
Today's episode is going to be really fun. Right?
Yeah.
I'm really excited for the conversation. Before we jump into that, though, let's throw some love to our sponsor. Today, the show is brought to you by The Foundry.
Yes.
Super exciting what those guys are doing, right?
Yeah. I mean, their mission's amazing and their coffee is the best. And if you listen to the podcast, you know I drink coffee all day, every day until mm-hmm. I go to bed. And so the Foundry's coffee is some of the best I've ever had. It's mm-hmm. ethically sourced and its mission's just out of the world.
Right.
It's all of its profits go back to nonprofits within the community. And what the whole impetus and goal is that how can nonprofits start to build sustainable business models so they don't have to just rely on the donations of donors? So when hard times are here, how do they keep growing during those hard times?
Yeah.
And the Foundry is going to help make that happen.
Yeah, I think they figured it out, right?
Yeah.
And the space is also amazing.
Just great for such collaboration.
A good, yeah, and a good vibe and just awesome atmosphere.
And they have cocktails, so you have your coffee, but then need to like cool down with a beer or something. They have amazing local brews on tap.
Yeah,
so
they got you covered.
Yeah,
so if you're in Lincoln or you come to Lincoln, maybe for the next Do More Good conference, I don't know.
Just saying, you should.
Yeah, pop over to the Foundry, ask for Randy, and tell him, you know, Andrew and Angie sent me. They'll take really good care of you.
Exactly.
So cool. So today's show, who are we talking to, Angie? What's going on?
We are talking with Lance. Oh man,
Koenig, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to completely butcher it. Thanks for saving me.
I got
having
you.
My back. You know those values at Firespring
we
love.
Do.
And he is the vice president of global strategy for the Martin Agency, and he has worked on clients that I like salivate over, like Oreo and other major hitters.
Mm.
But what I appreciate most about him is that he has won the Effies.
Ooh.
And the Effies to me are like the creme de la creme because
it
means your campaign actually did something
right.
besides look pretty.
Look pretty.
And so it's all about results. But what I'm excited to dig in with him on is this whole referral economy and how he thinks that's the future of business.
Mm.
And what that means. And as we're here at the Do More Good conference and we're coming off of that, just how that being a business for purpose or standing for something a little bit higher than yourself, how can that affect what's happening within your referral economy?
Oh, I'm all about it. Let's dive in.
Yeah.
Ready? Let's go. Lance.
Welcome.
How are you, man?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm doing really good. We're doing really good. Thank you for joining us today, man.
It's my pleasure. It's nice to be in the city I grew up in.
Yeah.
This is where you grew up?
I grew up in Lincoln, yeah.
Oh, nice. Lincolnite.
I'm a Lincolnite.
I like it.
Family's still here.
Nice.
Come back and see them, preferably not in the summer because it's gross. But now I live in a place that's even grosser in the summer, so I'm not sure I'm going to work that out.
Here in the winter, though.
But I love winter. I'm a total winter kid.
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird, I know.
So awesome. So before we just dive into all the things, let us know a little bit. I mean, I've kind of stalked your background. I shared a little bit about what you're doing, but like what's gotten you to where you are and how did you get to TMA?
It's a big question.
It is. And like you get 2 minutes. Go. No,
you know, I'm a strategist.
Yeah.
Some call us account planners. And honestly, I credit a woman that I worked with in Washington, D.C. at Arnold Worldwide, which is a big agency, and it was big back then, and I was in account management, and I worked in the Washington Post, and she one day turned to me and said, why are you in account management? Like, you should be in, and they called it consumer insights at the time, and I was like, I don't know what that is, but sounds cool, and quite frankly, the rest is kind of history, because I was like, oh, hey, that does sound pretty cool, and that sounds like maybe something that I would be able to do. And
yeah.
So that's how it started, and the rest is like, you know, I'm kind of feeling my way, read a lot of stuff, talk to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing what you pick up and learn as you go.
Where are you at now, then?
I'm at the Martin Agency in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
Where I'm working on Oreo globally, which is pretty cool. Trident.
What's your daily Oreo consumption look like?
I know it's pretty high.
Is it?
Yeah. It's because there are so many amazing kinds of Oreos.
Oh my gosh. Like, the most stuff. Though?
What is your favorite flavor that they have come out with?
So this year they came out with dark chocolate, and I'm a dark chocolate fanatic.
That's the poison.
So that was pretty hot. Like, that made me quite happy. But the thing about Oreo is that they are in ice cream and ice cream sandwiches. Mm-hmm. They have chocolate bars. They have, of course,
cereal.
They might move into cereal. At any given moment, they've got what, like 16 flavors?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like red velvet.
Birthday cake was a big hit in my house.
Birthday cake. So, but it's also just a brand that's easy to love.
Yeah.
So that's, it's a lot of Oreo.
And so what are you doing for Oreo?
I am the strategy lead globally. Okay. So we work with, obviously, that client, which is owned by Mondelez. Uh-huh. And we develop, you know, brand strategy, activations, just kind of the full, basically anything that you see for Oreo, it goes through the Martin Agency.
Oh, wow.
And that client has been a great partner just doing some cool stuff.
Yeah.
So we launched a new campaign this year under the Stay Playful banner.
Yeah.
With Wiz Khalifa and his son Sebastian. And that was kind of an epic launch on the Grammys, where not only did we, you know, do kind of the stuff that you might expect, like a TV commercial with them, and he's rapping the song and his son, and he are featured in the commercials, but also we worked with him to launch a song on an Oreo cookie.
Yeah.
We created a little music player so that the music could be read off of a cookie. So
the
cookie side plays a rap song. You take the top off, it reads the cream, and it plays something a little creamier, a little smoother. It's, you know, it's a brand that really gets who it is, understands, you know, kind of the playful connections and the spirit of playfulness. And they really are, they embrace it. And so they look for ways to bring it to life and, you know, cool ways that to back to your relevance or referral economy, get people talking.
That's amazing.
Like, how do we get people talking about this brand? There's already a lot of love for it. And so we're, you know, just trying to get more people to love it even more and get people talking about it.
That's amazing.
I think, did a BuzzFeed, like where we created our own quiz about Oreo flavors and you answered questions to see what you,
What flavor you are.
And it was built as an internal thing because we have a couple of team members that we do eat a lot of Oreos in creative brainstorming sessions. And so it was spun out of that and it was an internal thing. Well, then a couple of people shared it and it was one of our, like, it went viral, as people say. And then someone's like, oh, do another one. I'm like, well, you can't just like do another one of that. Like, it was something that everyone related to. And so it was super fun. And I mean, everyone eats an Oreo and has like that those memories of Oreos.
So I wasn't around for that. Yeah, no, that was before my time.
You need to go back and take it.
What kind of Oreo I am? What kind of Oreo am I?
Gosh, of all the flavors, I'm trying to think. Maybe the double stuffed.
I can double stuff. I can get down with double stuff.
Yeah,
but not the most stuff.
No.
She doesn't think that much of you.
No. We're still developing the rapport.
So early stages of friendship. How you guys are kind of approaching such an iconic brand. And, you know, we had John Rood on the show in a previous episode where Disney is having these challenges of, you know, the thing of the internet where everyone has a voice and everyone has a platform now and trying to control what they'll play in and what they don't play in. So how are you guys kind of helping Oreo stay true to kind of what their center point is?
Well, I mean, I think that the challenge for most brands is that they don't have that kind of purpose or that they're not grounded in who they really are. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not, it becomes very difficult to stay focused.
Yeah.
But I also think that you have to, you know, while you're making sure that you know what you're about, you also want to listen to those super fans, you know, and just find ways to like continue to make those connections. Super fans are important because if you don't have a super fan, you don't have anybody bragging about you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you just look for those opportunities to really find, you know, I think ideas that create connections. Advertising, yes, generally is how it manifests. But, you know, on a brand like Oreo, it's the fresh ways that you choose to bring the brand to life, like, the fresh ways that you make connections with people, like the record player.
Yeah.
They have a DJ mixer that they created, so you put Oreo cookies on, and you can, you know, and you can buy those at their e-commerce, OreoShop.com,
we
I think.
I think we need to get
You know, so you just, I think that in today's world, you just have to find ways to be fresh with people.
Mm-hmm. So how does that kind of, the referral game plan and building those connections? So with a brand like Oreo, right, it's a little bit, I think the storyline people can connect because we've all grown up with Oreo.
Right.
But then from other clients or just businesses or people you speak with, how do you suggest that they kind of approach that with their given business?
I mean, the fundamentals, regardless if it's Oreo or, you know, the Omaha Community Foundation are both alive and well. Who are you? What are you about? What do you stand for? Mm-hmm. The thing that we do at the Martin Agency that is perhaps a little unique to us, but I think it's kind of a principle that is just baked into storytelling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This notion that you have to stand for something or you're the protagonist in your story and you have to have an antagonist. What are you against? You know, and I think that that's probably the richest way to find relevance, to lean into that tension so that what you stand for becomes especially rich to people. So, you know, in the case of Oreo and this Wiz Khalifa work we launched, we're kind of pushing off of the things that get in the way of those connections, those playful connections that we should be having regularly with people. So, you know, in the spot, Wiz is on the phone and his kid is sitting at the table. Sebastian's sitting at the table and the kid's kind of a little frustrated. The dad's distracted, as one is, because of their devices. And then he sees it, puts the phone down, and the connection ensues. So, but those tensions are the things, you know, if I could show you the research and the focus groups and how people react to that. Yes, they like what you stand for, but it's the moment they're like, when Wiz throws his phone in the trash so that he can focus on his kid, on Sebastian, that's when people are like, yes, I need to do that. And their ultimate reaction is, I need to go and play with my kids. What am I doing?
Right.
Why am I with you in a research facility? Get me out of here. but I think that that's, you know, not to be formulaic, but I think
it
that
is.
You want to think through some of those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that, yes, digital is how we spend our lives. We're on our devices all the time. But that does not usurp ideas.
Right.
Ideas are still the thing that people connect with. Mm-hmm. And so what are the fresh ways of manifesting whatever you're about? You know, what are fresh ways of pushing off of whatever your enemy is or whatever you're against is really, I think, the magic. I mean, I think, and the net of that is the more interesting it is, the more it's true to like a consumer insight, the more relatable it is. And the more willing people are to be like, did you see this?
Yeah.
Did you see what Oreo just put out?
Right.
Did you see this thing that Coke just did? You got to see this because I agree with kind of their take on the world.
Yeah, it's good. It forms communities. And that's something that we talk a lot about on this podcast is that communities are what kind of keep everything moving together. And so whether you're a company that's defining your purpose or what's your focal point, but when you build that network, you kind of then start to become accountable to that thing and you grow together. And so I think it's amazing that people think of Oreo as just, oh, it's a cookie or that's a playful thing, but it's a much deeper story.
Right. And you're giving people, like I said, the super fans something to brag about. Stop and think, if you don't have super fans, you probably don't have anybody talking about you.
Right.
And you know, it's one of those things that you like have to think about, how do I foster that? Mm-hmm. How do I create an environment where people want to talk about my brand or the things that I'm doing?
Or create the personality that reinforces that kind of communication.
And that too.
Right? I think like, you know, there's plenty of brands out there that have great products or services, and maybe people are talking about them, but the organization as a whole is not leveraging technology to be able to engage with these people and get a sense of like, who are you and why are you stoked on this? And like, tell me more and let's develop this relationship, right? Like we've said it several times on the show, like people do business with people they like, know, and trust.
Right.
Right. And I think that's huge. So
totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
It's awesome.
I think that the mission is to, I mean, for us at the Martin Agency, it's to get your brand talked about, to impact culture. If you're just trying to make the greatest 30-second spot, you probably are focused on the wrong measures. You know, you're probably not aiming high enough or big enough.
Yeah.
And if you're going to make the investment, come up with some ideas that are going to, you know, be cool.
Yeah.
That are going to impact culture that way. So, but I can't overstate like the whole, you can do stuff that's cool and big. If it's not tied to your brand, it's fleeting.
Right.
It'll be an act that people are like, did you see that thing? I don't remember who it was for.
Right.
But it was cool. You know what I mean?
Right. It doesn't have the staying power.
Exactly.
Well, I think, you know, picking and choosing the things that you're going to do, because what's the long game that you're trying to achieve? So in a lot of, I think, clients for us that we speak to, sometimes they get caught up and they see that flashy thing and they're like, oh, I want to do that as well.
Right.
And we have to pull them back and say, no, you need to do this other thing, or that doesn't align to our end goal and mission. And so helping people have those blinders on for us as our company is growing and changing is one of our biggest challenges. And I think even something that we struggle with sometimes at FireSpring,
for sure,
as we do so many different variable things for people, but just, you know, our cornerstone is helping people discover their impact and then helping them first believe that inside before we even take it externally.
Yep.
And I think that takes a lot of growth and development. Do you guys have the same type of challenges of coaching people through that, whether from a smaller company to the behemoths as well?
I mean, it's, you know, those are the fundamentals you're always grounding yourself in.
Yeah.
You know, that the discipline of advertising is, you know, what are you about? Who's your consumer? Like, you can't overlook the fundamentals. And I think that sometimes we forget as we get into social strategy and connection strategy. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to connect people to a brand. So yeah, of course we think a lot about that. We think a lot about, we recognize that the most talked about brand outperforms its category by 2x. So we really calibrate around that mission of creating impact, to create those kinds of chatter, those conversations, because at the end of the day, yes, we're trying to build those brands and make sure that they're authentic and they're connecting with the consumers. We're also trying to drive business.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're trying to get people talking. We're trying to sell stuff. And so in today's world, it's an undeniable truth that this referral economy, that either you're getting talked about and probably winning, or you're not.
Right.
Yeah. So. And so this notion, so we've been at the Do More Good conference and heard from people like Rian Stegen and Jay Cohn Gilbert and Michelle Kinder and a handful of others about how knowing your purpose, making sure that you've got the inside figured out, and then moving forward to help create this like social awareness and change. I think so many people think it has to be this philanthropic end game, but I think what's really cool that you're showcasing is that it could just be tackling a societal challenge. So when you guys have those conversations, do people start to immediately say, yes, we were willing to go there and tackle that social issue? Or what are some of those responses when you guys say, hey, this is the thing that we're going to stand for that's bigger than just the end good?
I mean, it's, as you would expect, it's kind of all over the place. And I mean, not every client, you know, is, and I don't, every client is bold in their own ways. You know what I mean? Some clients are more focused on, I really need to make sure that the body of work is nailing these two or three key measures.
Right.
Right.
Because the data tells them that that's important. And I completely respect that. And some other clients are, I want to be famous. I want, you know, my brand to be talked about. So for us, you know, it's kind of both, and one's not better than the other. And you know, you can have a brand that is a little bit more conservative who maybe doesn't want to take on some bigger issues, and they can be effective. But we know that the most successful brands are the ones that push a little harder.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and that are willing to take, I got to tell you, I don't even think of it as risk. To me, the risk is to not do something.
Yes, exactly. Right. In today's world, for sure.
The risk is to spend a lot of money for nobody to notice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To me, that's the world's biggest risk.
It's like the quietest noise
ever. It's the saddest thing when I see that, like as a marketer myself and a strategist, and I'm like, oh gosh, you just, those so many dollars you just put out the window.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, I think that the world is changing so quickly, how we make connections with people, but right. our industry has not necessarily caught up.
Mm-hmm. No.
We might be beholden to old measures, old ways of doing things.
Right.
I still think that sometimes we research ourselves to death or we lose our courage because we research ourselves to death. And
Preach.
I think that the best clients are the ones that are like, you need to go through those things, but you never lose sight of the bigger opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. You
know, so
you've mentioned several times creating impact, right?
Yeah.
And that's like the whole purpose of our show. That's why we exist, is impact and purpose. So tell me, like, if you can point to one campaign or one thing that you've been a part of during your career that created the most impact, that's your favorite, right? Like, what do you have that thing you can point to?
Probably a couple, to be honest. We today, speaking at the conference, I shared some work that we did at Mullen for American Greetings. And you may remember it from 5 years ago.
Okay.
It was a video about 2 minutes long created for American Greetings for Mother's Day. And it was a provocation based on an insight. I, you know, shamefully cannot remember the statistic exactly, but a very disproportionately large number of Americans text message Happy Mother's Day to their moms.
Oh.
They buy cards. They've got great intentions. The stamp is just too big of a hurdle. I've been there. I've done it. Like, birthday cards will sit in my bag for weeks because I just cannot seem to either get a stamp or get to a mailbox. In today's world, you think it would be pretty simple.
Right.
So we have the best intentions, but at the end, for Mother's Day, a text message is often what moms get. So it was a two-minute video that just reminded people that mom is important, that her job, we call it the world's toughest job.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes through this kind of motion of job interviews, and basically somebody's interviewing candidates to say, well, you're not gonna be able to sleep, and you'll only be able to eat after your associate eats, and holidays there's gonna be extra work, and there's lots of overtime. And then the reveal is there's a person who already does this work and they do it for free, and it's your mom.
Right.
And the interview people
are
like,
that was huge.
Oh my gosh, mom. And they start crying, and oh, mom, I love you, thank you. And I presented that work so many times, and I still get teary-eyed every time I share.
I remember that campaign. That was a pretty epic.
It's like a heavy hitter, right? And for anybody at home that, like, if you texted your mom on Mother's Day, knock it off, right?
Go buy her a "I'm sorry, I failed you" on Mother's Day card.
Get her a massage, take her out for a cocktail, and thank her for pushing you into this world.
Just put your dishes in the damn dishwasher. You don't have to rinse them. They actually say that's, like, worse. Just put them in the dishwasher.
Just put them in there.
Right, right.
Just do it.
So, I mean, you know, that's just a lovely little fun example.
That's amazing.
Not a big budget.
Really?
A really simple insight.
Yeah.
And I think within 2 weeks, something like 20 million people had viewed it.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So you love when work gets talked about and it takes off, but you love it especially when it actually causes people to stop and reflect.
Right.
Oh, I need to do something more than text.
Right. And we talk about perspective a lot on this show too, right? Like, anytime one has the opportunity to potentially, like, shift someone's perspective or influence it into a direction of positivity or good. Like, that's an amazing thing that's occurring in the world, right? And so, like, to be a part of that has to feel amazing, but then to also see that result, right? Like the 20 million views in what, 2 weeks, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's that.
Organic.
That
wasn't even paid. Like, we weren't trying, paying people to move it around the world. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's fun work. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you try.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been very fortunate to work on a lot of very cool brands and cool things in my life. And with clients who are up for the challenge, you know, up for trying something different.
Yeah. And I think that's something, I mean, we talk about a lot on this show, is that the fear of taking that step holds a lot of people back, but sometimes you just have to go for that risk reward, and you might fail, and you're not going to knock it out of the park every single time, but when people ask me like, oh, well, I wanted to do what that person did, I'm like, then you have to be willing to go there. You have to be willing to get a little deep.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it's really cool. And I think for, you know, we have a lot of people who listen to our show who have small to mid-sized businesses. And while we're talking about some brands here that are just like epic and iconic, you can kind of like borrow from their life learnings and apply them into your daily string. And which I think is super cool. And we have this phrase at Firespring called rip off and duplicate R&D, is you don't just copy and paste, but you copy, learn, and adapt it to what makes sense for you. And that's what so many business owners should be doing as we, and take a note from what those larger brands are doing, because they are able to do trials and errors. But what we're seeing them do that's exciting to watch is they are starting to stand for something more. And I know some people get burnt down on like everything always having a social arms to it. Sure, but sure. I think we're figuring out how to use all these connected platforms, because now we have messages in front of us all the time. Yeah. So I think we'll continue to watch things evolve into a conversational model versus just I'm talking at you model. And right. So I think it'll be cool to watch that.
I hope
that
so. I mean, I think shift. Brands have really got to figure out social and some other things, because
yeah, social media is still just a...
Our mission cannot be to get our logo in front of them as fast as they can before they skip
right.
our ads.
But that conversational shift lends itself to what your focus is, right, with the whole referral piece. I mean, that's where that happens.
You have to be willing to let your brand have a humanized level to it. And that's what I try and coach our clients on is, no, we don't want it to be this stale thing. If you don't like every single post, that's okay. It's social media. You have like 3 hours to have it actually hit people's feed. But if it's always like, look at this polished thing we did, that's fake. It's not authentic. And that's not why we're on social media. I think we're going to have to fix that, because now we're getting into a whole tirade. But I feel like even as consumers and users of social media, we're starting to change the way perception is of our lives. Like we only put out the good and not the bad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to have these like faux Barbie lifestyles in social media. And I think we need to leverage the power of brands and personas to start to shift that, to start being more real and reflective of actual life. Mm-hmm. And right. I think.
And also disrespect, like responsive to who's receiving this. I mean, when I started my career, direct mail was always a thing that was like around us. Like, there's always somebody working on direct mail.
There always should be, says the print company.
But I learned very quickly that from a consumer's perspective, in direct mail, it used to be that, you know, you would have to know who you're talking to so well. Otherwise, they're standing at their mailbox because, you know, if the NRA sends me something, I'm like, how did I get on this list?
Right.
And you, as a consumer, think at that moment, you should know better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And social is no different, where you're sometimes like, why are you in my feed? Mm-hmm. You should know better.
Yes.
And I do think that sometimes the personalization aspect of digital and the promise of it, I understand it's expensive to do. I understand all the realities. But you really have to question, should I be doing this if I can't find a way to make that connection in a meaningful way? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, to me, it's just like somebody throwing direct mail in the trash because we weren't strategically sound enough to make sure we were talking to the right people.
And I like something I coach our clients on is, if you're not willing to have an actual conversation, is this the right space for you to be
in? Should
at?
You be there?
Right.
And it's just, and I get that it's impressions and it's easy and it's way cheaper than other mediums. But at the same point in time, like people are getting just like, it's becoming so ineffective. And then just with the whole data kind of how are you managing my data? What are you doing with my data? Why am I, the questions people are getting, people don't know how to answer it. And so we work with a lot of nonprofits and coach them on, if you're not using the data, delete it, because now you're holding a liability. And if you don't have the right infrastructure to keep it from getting hacked, you're kind of going to get hosed.
Yeah, don't create a nightmare for yourself.
Right. And so, yeah, I'm sure, how do you kind of manage that with your clients?
Well, back to the social, at the risk of being tossed out of my keister.
Firespring will welcome you.
I got to tell you, why do organic? You know, so many clients are like managing, what am I posting this week? And I don't think, it's like, you know, anything else. Consumers are not sitting around waiting for us to post something, right? So if it's meaningful and you've got something to say, do it.
Yep.
But if you're just looking to create some sort of cadence, then
you've missed it.
You're just creating obstruction. You are messing up my feed. Like, and I don't want you there probably in the first place, unless you're a passion brand.
Right.
Like if you love cars and you follow whatever car brand you love.
Exactly.
So, so it's kind of, for me, it's find the right ways to use social. You know, I mean, if you're Oreo, and you want to launch with Wiz Khalifa, there's a world of people who are really into him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he's talking about what he's doing with his son, Sebastian, on Oreo. And that's the right way to think about social and the right way to play with social. And, you know, Oreo did a Game of Thrones thing that was mm-hmm. just a fun nod to the Game of Thrones and this cultural moment. That's the kind of stuff that I think brands should do, not continue to just interrupt people's days yeah. and their feeds with just kind of stuff.
Well I always said. View it as like the, you know, you're having a conversation with somebody and then that awkward person like enters the conversation and totally disrupts what was happening. And you're like, well, this is now ruined.
Yeah.
That's kind of what, like, that's what brands are doing.
Yeah.
Right. When they don't do it right. And so,
yeah.
So as everyone looking to hire firms for social media, we're super excited about it.
As the show's like stable dork though, I can't hear a Game of Thrones reference and like poke that bear real quick. Like, are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Oh, totally.
Who's your character?
You know, it's kind of changed over this season.
Right?
Like, I went into this, like, Khaleesi's, like, she should take it. Like, the dragons are my thing. Maybe, you know, Jon Snow. But I also was like, there's, you know, the Starks. Arya could be, like, a, you know, maybe she's the one. So I kind of went into pretty open. Like, there was not any person that I was going to be upset with.
Yeah.
Even Cersei, because I'm like, maybe she's going to do something. I'm like, well.
Right.
I mean, she kind of threw down and I kind of respect her for it.
And if you go into it knowing it's, you know, George R. R. Martin, like,
yeah,
nobody's safe, right? Like, that's...
Well, and that's why the season, I think, is controversial for people, because right. it has felt safe.
Right.
Mm. I think it's been more expected than not. Like, of course, they kill the White Walkers.
Right.
Of course, the dragon destroys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Of course, Cersei, unless she, like, comes out of the rubble.
I mean, I feel like never. The fact that it feels safe makes it that much more dangerous, though, right?
Yeah, you have to wonder, like, is this last episode going to be one where, like, oh, you
it
did.
It all makes sense.
Yes, yeah, I stand corrected. As people are, like, apparently petitioning to, like, do a do-over for this last season.
Yeah. I find no, almost a million people have signed that petition as of this morning.
Wow.
Like, calm down. We didn't get that from Lost, right? Like,
what a pressure.
The pressure to write the finale?
To something that is like so beloved, like universally by people.
And what, they're like in the history of finales, there's like two shows that people are like, oh, that one was good.
Right.
Everybody else is like, no, that's not how this should have been.
Get wrecked.
It's like the end of a breakup. It's like, it was amicable until that last, you got the last word. And then it's like, now I'm pissed.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. It's got to like just be so much pressure to go from, you know, episode 3 of season 8 is like, that comes out and everybody's, oh my God, it's the most epic thing on television in the history of anything ever.
Right.
And then you go to episode 4 and everybody just took the biggest dump on it ever. Right. Like, that shift is insane. One more Game of Thrones question.
Yeah.
And then we'll wrap it up. So I heard this theory the other day. If in the end of this thing, Jon Snow dies, Daenerys dies, does that mean that Drogon is actually the rightful heir to the Iron Throne?
Oh, God.
Like, what would, like, he just sits his little dragon ass on that chair and he's like, I'm a king now.
I have no idea. That's crazy. I feel like, you know, the person that's been absent, that they're probably going to come back with, like, Sansa, like, is probably, like, some... She's probably like a Targaryen also. You know what I mean? Like, right, where is this going to be weird twist? Because I always look for the show. I'm like, who's not in this episode?
Right.
Like, who's strangely absent and is going to emerge like in the next episode? Like,
what are they scheming?
Exactly.
Right.
So,
well, that was fun. Thank you for letting me do the.
Yeah,
thing
no,
real quick.
Gosh, I was such a geek.
We had John Rood on the show a couple episodes ago. And like, I'm also a big Star Wars guy. And like, I feel like 30% of that show was Star Wars.
Yeah, you fangirled real hard.
Real hard.
I mean,
you tried to figure out a lot of spoilers to the upcoming, but he was a steel trap man.
Yeah, he played it well.
Shut it down. Yeah, that was fun.
Apparently, and also his livelihood probably kind of depends on.
I'm sure.
He said he'd sign an NDA.
Right.
Details.
I was ready to sign the thing. Right. Like, you know, maybe
next time
it'll be more fun when it comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
Very true. Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was a super fun conversation.
Yeah, very
absolutely.
Fun.
Loved it.
Before we wrap up, though, like, how can people connect with you or find you online? Like, are you active on, as much as you hate organic social, are you active on social media?
I am barely active on Facebook. I'm terrible, guys. Like, I probably should just punt it to the curb. Instagram, yeah, you can find me at Lance Alec.
Awesome.
Generally not work-related things. I have a basset hound who gets a disproportionate share of posts.
Nice.
Because he's a goofy dude. I used to have two, and they were goofy dudes and dudettes. I'm honestly, like, just connect with me via LinkedIn. You'll find Lance Koenig.
Awesome.
Find me at the Martin Agency. I do think that there is another, Lance Koenig, who I've never met, who's also from Nebraska.
I mean, I've seen weirder stuff happen.
Well, right? I had heard that this guy existed. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. He interned at like another advertising agency. So he works in marketing.
Oh, this is real.
This is real. Oh, but I was at like Target with friends and I was paying with my credit card. And the woman's like, I need to see your credit card. And I'm like, here you go. She's like, can I see your driver's license? I hand her my driver's license. I'm like, this hasn't happened in a while. This is like 20 years ago.
Can you procure your birth certificate?
And she's like, oh my God. I thought that you had stolen my boyfriend's credit card. My boyfriend's name is Lance Koenig. And I was like, what? So
to the other Lance, I hope you're doing well.
Yeah. To the other Lance, I hope you're well.
Let's track him down. Yeah. We'll share this episode with him and hit him with some context. It'll be good.
That's awesome.
Dude, thank you so much for joining us today. This was a blast. Fun. We really enjoyed the conversation.
Good luck, you guys.
Thank you so much.
I'll listen in.
So that dude was super fun.
Super awesome.
Right? I want all the Oreos now too, by the way.
I know, I'm kind of craving them, but just like what a hell of a career, right?
Yeah.
And to get to be a sphere of influence to those iconic brands that have these enormous platforms, like what a privilege and a responsibility that he gets to carry.
Well, I think it's so amazing, like the way he approaches it too, right? Like there's one thing where it's one thing to just like do a campaign or, you know, make the spot or, you know, push the content, whatever, for a big brand. But to be able to approach it from the standpoint of like, how is this going to impact? I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's make people feel something. Let's get them to react to it in a way that's positive. And, you know, I feel like the world needs more of that.
That, and it's just like pulling people in to have conversations. I think brands sometimes they forget that humans are behind the brand and that humans consume the brand. And so how do you kind of circle that around? And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I really dig it. It was fun.
It was super great.
Yeah. Well,
till next time.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Angie.
And we'll catch you on the flip.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.08%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 1.25% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
Do you have an idea, brand, concept, or business? Well, we have what you need to grow your brick-and-mortar presence. Brookfield Properties. You mean business. We mean retail. Discover new business opportunities at wemeanretail.com.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.